an article caught our eye. Ann Terrio is a Toronto-based writer who says that she's currently raising one child and three unruly cats. I'd like to meet all four of those things. I love cats, and I'm sure her son is also fascinating, because this article, in which he plays a big part of, is fascinating. I'm scared the darkness that gripped me after my baby was born will come roaring back. We have Ann Terrio on the line. Nice to have you on the line, Ann.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So you had a baby about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And up until that point, a lot of people had said to you, so, do you plan on having kids? When are you having kids? And, you know, this is a question that I've been asked a number of times. I don't have any kids, and I'm mm-hmm. much older than you are. And so you do hear it every now and again, but because I'm a man, I just don't think I hear it as often as you do. And tell me about how you felt when people would ask you that.
It is a pretty intrusive question, because mm-hmm. it kind of feels like almost like you're asking a person about their sex life in a weird way. But I, you know, before my son was born, I didn't really have a problem answering it, because I knew the answer was yes, I wanted to have kids. Now it's a much trickier question, because I get asked a lot, do you plan on having another? Mm-hmm. And it's a complicated answer, because I would love to, but I also had a lot of postpartum mental health challenges, and I don't know if I can do that again.
Well, let's explore that a little bit. I'd love to, after this interview is over, to hear from other people as well who have gone through this, because the numbers are quite staggering. A recent Statistics Canada survey found that nearly a quarter of Canadian women who recently gave birth had symptoms of postpartum depression or anxiety. And this is from your article. Of those women, 12% report thoughts of self-harm. So we'll walk it through us. Your pregnancy was fairly uncomplicated. You didn't have morning sickness. You felt okay.
Yeah, physically my pregnancy was very easy. I had a lot of anxiety throughout my pregnancy, and looking back, I can see that it was a red flag. At the time, I didn't tell anyone about it. I was really embarrassed, and I also thought, well, you know, new moms worry or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And the worries were things like, oh, I had two beers before I knew that I was pregnant, or maybe there's an alcohol content in the red wine vinegar,
yeah.
That kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and I think they started out very rational, but I think our culture does a lot of policing around pregnant women's bodies, and that definitely increased my anxiety. But for sure, by the end of my pregnancy, they were not rational worries. Like you said, they were like red wine vinegar.
And mothballs and things like that. You were afraid of the fumes that they were giving off. And so you thought really nothing of it, though. You thought at the time, this is what happens. And tell us what happened afterwards, after you gave birth.
I kind of thought that the anxiety would go away after mm-hmm. I gave birth, because I thought, well, you know, then I'll be able to see the baby is fine. He'll be fine. You know, we'll all be fine. And I ended up having a complicated preterm birth, and he was quite small and early, and the anxieties just really overwhelmed me, that I even when he slept, which wasn't often, I couldn't sleep, and I would spend hours Googling, like, does he have fetal alcohol syndrome from these two beers? Does he, you know, is it this or is it that? Is it brain damage?
And those would play on your mind. Now, is that a symptom of the postpartum, or is that a function of not sleeping, or is it all kind of part and parcel of the same thing?
Yeah, I think it's all kind of a vicious cycle, but, you know, part of it was I wasn't sleeping because of the anxiety and the new baby, of course, but then the sleep deprivation really kind of like feeds into the mental health stuff, and it all gets tied up.
And at what point did you say, okay, you know, this is beyond what a normal new mother might be having? I don't want to say normal, but that other new mothers experience. At what point did you really fully understand that? And then how do you reach out at that point?
It was my mother-in-law, actually, who I had finally, she was staying with us when my son was a couple weeks old, and she could see that I was really struggling and crying a lot, and then I finally admitted to her, oh my God, I think, you know, there's something wrong with him, I've ruined him, whatever, and she said, well, what do you think's wrong with him? And I said, I don't know, I think he has brain damage, and she said, well, why don't you make an appointment with the doctor and find out. And so I did, and the doctor was like, no, he's fine. He's a very normal baby. But from that point, I was kind of able to talk about my part of my angle of it, I guess.
And it says in your article, which is fascinating, it's called, I'm scared the darkness that gripped me after my baby was born will come roaring back in Chatelaine. You say you were too frightened and ashamed to talk to your doctor about mental illness. And, you know, when does that veil lift?
I mean, I don't know. I guess, you know, when I went to the doctor with these kind of irrational fears at that point, I kind of had to say, like, I'm frightened about these things because I'm having, you know, problems with anxiety and mental health. But it was... You know, I think there's a lot of shame and stigma around mental illness anyway. And then when you bring new motherhood into it, there's kind of, you know, I remember getting Facebook messages all day from people saying like, wow, this must be the happiest time of your life. And I thought like,
wow,
if only you knew, like it's the opposite of the happiest time of my life.
And what sort of healing did you do?
Like I said in the article, there aren't a lot of resources out there. I did go on medication, and I was referred to a program at a local hospital. There wasn't really any room in the program, but there was a waiting list for 2 months. So I just kind of, you know, I just kept putting one foot in front of the other until eventually things got better. That's not a very good dramatic ending to the story, but...
But you're doing well today?
Yes, yeah.
And your son is fine?
Oh, yeah. He's
and the perfect. Three cats are excellent? So it is just a like a one foot in front of the other thing?
I mean, for me it was, but I wish, you know, I feel like lucky that I was able to get out of it, and I don't know if I would be lucky twice. And
that's where the difficulty comes in, as we touched in off the top, hence the name of the article. And, you know, what do you say when people say, oh, you're going to have another one? It feels like an innocuous question, but it's so loaded.
I usually just say like, oh, you know, we would love to, or, you know, maybe someday.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Anne, thank you so much. Thanks for sharing your story with us. I'm glad everything's great today, and I'm glad you have three cats, because once you have more than two, you may as well have 600. That's what I say. I'm a cat lover. I'm happy everyone's getting along so well over there. Anne Theriault has joined us. She's a writer in Chatelaine. You can find it on chatelaine.com right now. I'm scared the darkness that gripped me after my baby was born will come roaring back. Anne, thank you so much for this.
Thank you for having me.
That was the voice of Anne Theriault. We spoke with her in the last segment. She has an article in Chatelaine. You can find it at chatelaine.com. I'm scared the darkness that gripped me after my baby was born will come roaring back. It's a remarkably frank article about what happened when she was pregnant with her son. After years of being asked, you know, are you going to have kids? Are you going to have kids? She has one. Now, after having suffered postpartum depression, the very difficult question comes up all over again. Are you going to have more kids? Are you going to have more kids? And she really doesn't know, you know, exactly how to respond to that question. And so it got us wondering about postpartum depression. You know, have your experiences with postpartum made you reconsider having another kid? If you're a mom and you have postpartum, if you're the father and you have had some issues with that as well, let us know. 416-872-1010, or you can text us at 71010. You know, there's a text we just got back here from Stacy. My daughter is 3 years old in October, and I've been medicated for depression since she was 3 months old. I will not have any more children because I cannot go through postpartum depression again, and I do not want to have to go off my medication to become pregnant. I wish more people would understand that mental health is a legitimate reason not to want to become pregnant again. Stacey, thank you very much for opening up to us here. I'm curious and would like to hear from anyone out there at 71010 on the text board, or you can call me at 416-872-1010. If you've had experiences with this, or if you've been around this, and what kind of difference it's made in your life. You know, what's the impact of postpartum on your life? Perhaps, you know, it happened to a loved one. Perhaps it's happened to you. I'd like to hear from you. The story that Ann Terrio tells in Chatelaine magazine is very compelling. It's a fascinating read about how she felt for a long time, too frightened, too ashamed to talk to her doctor about her mental health. You know, and it wasn't until these feelings of anxiety that she was feeling that, you know, perhaps those two beers that she had when she didn't know that she was pregnant had affected her child. Or perhaps it was something about, you know, there's a thing we mentioned in the article or in the interview that we did that she had some red wine vinegar in something. Maybe there was alcohol in that and that's, you know, affected the child. So, you know, these things started to build and build and build until it reached a bit of a breaking point and she had to go for help. So it's a fascinating story. We've got Stacey on the line. Hi, Stacey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you so much for getting in touch. So your daughter's 3 years old. You've been medicated for depression since she was 3 months old. How are you doing today?
I'm fine because I'm on my medication.
Right.
My doctor tried to wean me off of it at one point, and the feelings kind of all came back. So it was just a decision that my husband and I made that it was better for me to stay on the medication and that we wouldn't be having any more kids.
And what were those feelings that you were having?
I was very similar to Anne. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating. I remember calling my mom and telling her that I didn't feel like I was a mom. And I had a lot of thoughts of self-harm. And fortunately, my husband and my mom both recognized that I was having a problem, and they made me go to the doctor because I didn't think there was anything wrong with me. And they got me help.
The numbers are quite staggering. In Canada, about a quarter of women who have babies experience this. And of that quarter, about 12% of them have thoughts of self-harm. And so, you know, this is something that you had to grapple with. Was there a question for you? Did you at one point think that you would have a bunch of kids and then obviously had to readjust that plan? And if so, how did that make you feel?
We had kind of thought we were going to have two children. My husband kind of tried to convince me afterwards, after things had kind of settled down. But I just said I couldn't go through it again. Mm-hmm. So we were disappointed. I wouldn't be adverse to adoption somewhere down the road once our daughter's a little less busy than she is now.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be an option that we look at. But I can't go through the PPD again.
Yeah, as you said in the text, and you know, I can't imagine what it's like, these feelings of anxiety and things. If you listen to the interview with Ann Terrio, you know, these thoughts that she was having kind of just built up to a point at which they just hit a breaking point for her. And I suppose you can kind of feel it coming, but it must have been shocking for you.
Yeah, it was. It was never something that I expected what happened to me. I had a normal pregnancy just like she did, and everything went fine after the delivery, and we went home, and it was supposed to be great. Like she said, it's supposed to be the best time of your life, but I had the complete opposite experience.
Well, Stacey, thanks so much for reaching out and getting in touch with us. I'm glad that you're doing well, and the baby's well.
Oh, yes.
Everyone's
awesome.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear it, and I appreciate you reaching out to us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stacey. A great phone call from Stacey. You know, this is something that is, I think, way more prevalent than people know. And I'm glad that we were able to talk about it a little bit today.